2 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, we brought a message on add to your faith. And we went through a number of scriptures that talked about spiritual growth. And certainly, when a baby is born, if it's healthy, it grows. Amen? It has its first year of birthday party and eats cake, right? And everybody has fun with that. And then as they grow older, they eat more cake. But there's a growth pattern. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so we grow. That was, I believe, 2 Peter chapter 1. But it said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. In another text, it says, above all, charity. Charity is above all. And so we find that in 1 Corinthians 13. There's another list there, and it describes what charity is and what charity isn't. You go through the scriptures, you go to Galatians chapter 5, and you find the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and it goes on. It gives you 9 fruit of the Spirit. So there is something to this adding to your faith, growing as a Christian. Paul said towards the end of his life that he had not arrived, that he was still pressing toward the mark. And so as no matter how long you've been saved or studied the Bible, we study the Word that we might have an answer for every question that people give us, and that's good to do. But it's also for our own good. It's how we follow the Lord. And so we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we talked about that a little bit, and I think we're going to bring all of this back in. I'm not going to repeat the message, but the principle of the message. So we're going to grow a little bit more today. Amen? And our brother prayed that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So we don't want just the knowledge of this. Oh yeah, that's there and that's there and that's there. We want to apply this so we can be blessed of God. And when you think of the filling of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, boy, if God can give you that, which he can, amen? So quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we learn in the Bible how to do that. But if you will look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's begin reading in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. For though I desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I brought out in Sunday school last week that one verse, lest I should be exalted above measure, the messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes things happen to us to humble us or to keep us humble. And that is good, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So that's where we need to be, amen? So we're learning, so we're growing. The Bible says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to speak today about the blessings of being weak, not the blessings of being strong. He's our strength. Amen? There's a verse in Psalm 27:1. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's our strength. We're weak and we need him. Amen? And so it says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There's no way to enjoy, as far as laughter and that type of joy, with an infirmity or with a necessity or with a persecution. It's like in the funeral yesterday, in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for this is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It doesn't say the house of mourning is sweeter. It just says it's better because it helps us to see something. Amen? And so trials are designed for that, the trial of your faith. And it gives us patience, and it gives us a closer walk with God. But here it says the Lord is our strength in all of these trials, all of these infirmities. Amen? And so we're going to look at that today. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Help us today. Lord, life is full of heartache, full of trial. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Thank you for the rest of the verse that says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I pray no matter what the burden today, that you'll help us to give that to you, that you might bear it for us. I pray no matter what the suffering or the sorrow, that you will encourage and strengthen us. May our strength be in you, Lord, in the inner man. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, it's always exciting to open the Bible because it has so many principles and thoughts and answers. Amen? And it's so fine-tuned to no matter what you're thinking or no matter what the week was like or no matter what you're projecting in the future, that God, somewhere in the message, will meet a need. That is just so wonderful. Of course, we can do that on our own in our devotions. We go to the Psalms. I love the Psalms. Spend a lot of time in the Psalms. Pastor, you say that every week. Yeah, but that's where I go. And it's just a good portion of Scripture. The blessings of being weak. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. That's interesting. If you really want the wisdom of God, let him become a fool that he may be wise. It's kind of like things are backward in the spiritual realm. We die to live. We give to get. We are humbled to be exalted. And the world does it the opposite way. Things are important to them. But for the Christian, we know that our connection with the Lord is when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Amen? And so we have that principle. And, you know, we talked about Bob, and he was always giving of himself, of his life. He was just such a blessing, and he touched so many lives. Amen? God used him. There's a couple of men, Cloud and Townsend. I don't know if you've ever read any of their books. They're very good. And he said this, Cloud said this, you cannot fix people who will not take feedback because from their perspective, they do not have a problem or a need. So far as they are concerned, there's nothing to fix. There's something to fix every day. Amen? And so we always are growing in grace. We never arrive. He went on to say this, a fool tries to adjust the truth so he does not have to adjust to it. And no, we open the scriptures and we see what God says about us and how to have a closer relationship with God and the blessings of God in our life. Just to go down through some characters in the Bible, Job, God said about Job in Job 1:8, there is none like him. This is a good guy. You've probably read the book of Job before. And man, this guy is so good. And he was, but he knew it. And when his friends and he started arguing, I mean, it was a big argument for 40 chapters in that book. And you come to the end of the book, and Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear and by the seeing of the eye, but now, heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Did I say that right? And seeing the eye, but no, he says, but now mine eyes see of thee. Okay. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. Therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. And the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 42, last chapter, Job said this, wherefore I abhor myself and repent. I abhor myself and repent. And he finally saw who he was, and then God blessed him twice as much as he did from the beginning. It's interesting. In Luke chapter 5, we have Peter, and he saw the great miracle of the fishes with the Lord's miracle working power. And in verse 8 it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Boy, that must have been a real revelation for him. Romans chapter 7, this is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at his life a little bit today. But this was a great apostle, a great, great missionary, gave his life for Almighty God. He said in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says, "The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. God, have mercy on me." He so depended on the Lord in his life. You have Revelation 1:17. John the Beloved, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." You have in the book of Isaiah, the first five chapters, Isaiah the prophet is saying, "Woe unto them, woe unto them." I think he does that five or six times. And then in chapter 6, he says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And because of that, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it seems like the closer all of these men got to the Lord, the less they thought of themselves, and the more they thought of his power and his strength. Isaiah's, "Boy, woe unto you, man, you're a mess, until he saw the Lord, and then he said, "Woe is me," because he needed God. He needed God as much as anybody. You have Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he arose and he went back to his father's house and said, "Just make me one of thy hired servants." All of the starch was out of him, right? All of the bragging and "just give me my inheritance and I'm going to go have my own life." That was all gone. It was all gone. It's a principle. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and he was talking about the Gentiles. And the prodigal said, when he came to himself, "I'm going home. Amen. I'm going to the Father." John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. And the Pharisees are kind of upset about that. And Jesus says, "If you would have said you were blind, you'd be able to see. But because you say you see, then you're going to remain blind." And they said, "Are we blind also?" And they just did not understand it. Jesus said in verse 41, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." And so we go through the Bible, and there's a lot more illustrations than that. Where are we in our spiritual strength? Not our physical strength, our mental strength, you know, our business strength, but where are we in our spiritual strength? When we are weak, we become strong. When we need God, he's there to fill that need. Amen? And his grace is always sufficient. There's a little poem that goes like this. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had some string. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Mary had some ointment, but they were all used of God. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to have everything together to be used of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Boy, that's a pretty strong statement. Without me ye can do nothing. Philippians 4:13. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Without him, we can do nothing. With him, we can do all things. You just take those scriptures and put them side by side. And that's not talking about physical activity. That's talking about some spiritual work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you're probably there by now, verse 27. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, 'He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.'" God chooses, and many, many times he chooses the weakest instrument because that's where he'll get the most glory. One preacher wrote, Paul has asked the Christians in Corinth to take a good look at the people in their congregation, their brothers and sisters in Christ. In the previous verse, he wrote that very few of them were wise and powerful in human terms. Not many of them were born into nobility. His point is not to put them down, but to emphasize that God does not require brilliance or power to become a believer. In fact, many people rely on their intellect or wealth so much that it keeps them from trusting God. So we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We want to be weak in our own estimation of our strength. We become weak so that we might have God's strength. That's our text. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. That's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is able to do anything. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we come to God in our weakness, and we appropriate his strength. We come to God in our foolishness and appropriate his wisdom. Amen? God gives that to us. Such a blessing. Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because he can meet that need. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, anybody here need wisdom? Just need wisdom. Maybe there's one or two. I'm sure there's somebody out there. If any lack wisdom, we all lack wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So we come to God for that wisdom. In James chapter 3, you find out what that wisdom is. And it's a wisdom that's from above. It's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. So it's a blessing that God can give that. Amen? And when he does that, you have the mind of Christ. And you have the word of God, because these are the words of wisdom. Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. Well, let's bring that up to today. Okay. Richard, Scott, God can give you anything you want. What would you ask for? Another piece of chocolate cake. Amen. That would not be a wise answer. If God says, I'll give you anything you want, what would it be? Man, I'd want to hit the lottery. You know, I'd want this, I'd want that. And we just go through our mind. And Solomon didn't want power over his enemies. He could ask for that. God says that. He could have asked for more wealth. He didn't need any more wealth, but he could have asked for that. And a lot of people are asking for that. He said, I want wisdom. Listen to what he said. 1 Kings 3:7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He knew how to go out and come in. He's talking about making decisions that would go along with God's will. Amen? There's decisions we make every day. Our decisions, if we knew the will of God, his decisions. And we could do so much more for the Lord if we followed his will. Amen? And obeyed his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will guide you. I'll guide your steps. And so we say, God, I need wisdom for this decision. Dealing with a person. Dealing with some other obstacle. You say, God, what do I do? Give me a Bible principle. And so we go to the Bible. Amen? So if God asked you what you wanted today, what would you ask? Answer. I know what I'd answer. I need sense to come in and come out of the rain. Right? 1 Kings 3:7, I am but a little child. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, there it is again, he shall be greatest in the kingdom. Luke 18:17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in. We have to humble ourselves to receive salvation. A little child is dependent. A little child is trusting. A little child is needy. You can't get your boy a paper route until he's at least three. Amen. You got to give him a little time, a little bit of time to grow up. Romans 12:16. good instruction. There's so much good instruction. And, you know, the seed and the sower, the seed is the word of God, and you've got all these different kinds of ground, thorny grounds, hard ground, but you've got good ground. That's the tender heart. And when that seed, when that Bible finds the tender heart, it brings forth fruit. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Be not high-minded. Humble ourselves. Love one another. All the one another verses. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Now, that's good. When you get older, you get a little respect. Amen? Not in this world. You know, they come up to you in the restaurant, they call you honey. You know, don't you get, you older guys, oh, there's no older guys here. But they come up in the restaurant, what can I do for you, honey? And you're thinking, man, you know, do I look that old? But ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Be subject one to another. Think highly of one another. Amen? And be clothed with humility. It says, for God giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. In Luke 18, there's the story of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee says, man, I thank God I'm not like this guy. I do this, and he did, and this, and this. Look at what I'm doing. But remember 1 Corinthians 13, charity, though I give all my money to feed the poor and have not charity, I am nothing. It profits me nothing. But I do all of this. And the man that got the grace and got the blessing was the one that would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God will never not answer that prayer. He will always be merciful if we say, God, be merciful to me. I need your mercy. I need your wisdom. He'll answer that prayer. Amen? I need your strength. I need your comfort. God will answer those prayers. It's when we say, man, I don't need anything. I'm not like that person. Boy, he doesn't answer anything. That man did not go home justified. You have Isaiah 61. This is the scripture that Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4 when he went into the temple. It was the fulfillment of this. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to, you know, the bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. And he goes through this big list of all these needy people. And that's what Jesus came for. He came not to condemn us. He came to set us free. He came to save us because we all need saving. Amen? We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And when we receive that Savior, that doesn't mean life's struggles are over and we're lifted up above everybody else. No. The greatest among you, let him be your minister, not pastor. Let him be your servant. It's good. It's such a good truth. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. That's a wonderful song that we sing. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. We come weak, we go strengthened. We come burdened, we leave with the burden lifted because God can do that for us. So we're back in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And Paul says, God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Have you ever experienced that? My grace is sufficient. I'm sure you have. My grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Most gladly. You have verse 10, the next verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's quite a list. Those are very difficult things to go through. But here's Paul. Most gladly, I will take pleasure in this. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so he names all of these things. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We looked at this last week a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's begin reading, verse 3. Remember we read this last week. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, there's three words here, in, by, and as. You'll see the transition. Ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, riots, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. This is how you battle and fight through all of these things. I'm in imprisonments. I'm in stripes. How do I conquer that? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. And he goes on and he says, this is how you get through that. By giving glory to God, by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit directing your life. So here's the infirmity, here's the necessity, here's the persecution. I'm weak, Lord. I don't know if I can make it through this. By pureness, by long suffering, by patience, by the Holy Spirit. And then you see the grace of God in your life. You experience the power of God in your life that takes you through the trial. And you bring honor and glory to God, not to yourself. Amen. That's a blessing. It's a real Bible principle. It says, infirmities. That's an unsound or unhealthy state of the body, weakness, feebleness, reproaches, that censor mingled with contempt or derision, necessities, poverty, pressing needs, persecutions, the infliction of pain, punishment, or death upon others unjustly, distresses, harassments, oppressions, miseries. And so Paul says, most gladly, I take pleasure. He even said this in 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He says, because I'm doing this for God. Were you ever nice to somebody or did something for somebody because they did something for you? And if they didn't do something for you, you stopped being nice to them? No, nobody here has ever done that. Amen. Maybe you did in the sixth grade, but we don't do that anymore. It's not like that. Amen. We love our enemies. We want to be kind and pray for those that despitefully use us. Amen. And you can do that through the power of God, and that's the only way to do it. Turn with me to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Go back just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, Paul's language, most gladly, I take pleasure, I will gladly be spent. You have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning, let's start in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, so it's God that worketh in you. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're born again of the Spirit, so the Spirit dwells within us. Then it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So, all of these things we go to, and in case you missed some of that, that the power of God should be His power, not ours. Troubled, not distressed. Disturbed, not miserable. That's what that means. Troubled, not distressed. Disturbed, not miserable. Perplexed, not in despair. Puzzled, but not hopeless. What are we going to do? Man, how is this going to work out? Man, I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to fret about that. And God says, don't worry about it. And He says, don't fret about it. And you remember when you did it that way, that you saw the answer? You saw God bringing you through that? How about persecuted, not forsaken? That's mistreated, but not abandoned. God will never forsake you, no matter who persecutes you. Cast down, not destroyed. That's dejected, but not destroyed. So through all of the trials of life, there's a strength that God gives us. Amen? And it's not pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that God could do something for us. I need wisdom. I need Thee every hour. Amen? I need comfort. I need direction. I need His strength. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. And when God says, what do you want, Paul? What do you want? Oh, God, just give me wisdom to know Your word. Help me with these principles. So there's a lot of principles here. Keep your place there and go to chapter 11. There's so much in here, and I'll stop in just a minute. Chapter 11, this is the Apostle Paul, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. This is the word of God. This really is true. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And then he says, I glory in that. I glory in that because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God allows me to be in this position, and He comes along and He gets me through it. If you go back to chapter 4, you've kept your place there. What is this all about? I want to be a good Christian. I don't know how many years I have left. Bob didn't know this was going to come upon him and his life would be over. We've seen a lot of blessed saints go home to be with the Lord, some young, some old. We never know. We have a step between us and death. I want my life to count for the Lord. I don't want to get my own way. You're like that, aren't you? I don't want it my way. I want it God's way. I just want to honor Him with the rest of my life. God, by the words of Thy lips, Thou hast kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Over and over, we see that in our life where some Bible principle has salvaged our life, saved our life, kept us close to God. Amen. I want my words to be a blessing to people. I want them to be encouraged. I want people to be helped, people to be saved. And you're the same way. We all want that. So we have to fight this flesh. Galatians 5. We have to fight it because there's a long list there and it will destroy us and people around us. But the filling of the Spirit is so wonderful. Here's the purpose. We're back in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Follow along. For which cause? Well, I guess I need to read verse 15. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, contribute to, result in the glory of God. That all of these things might produce glory for God. And it says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You've probably read this 100 times. For our light affliction, we just read what the Apostle Paul went through, and he calls it a light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Last week when we talked about 2 Peter chapter 1, if you know these things, add to your faith virtue and virtue, temperance, knowledge, and it goes on down. If you know these things, ye shall neither be bare or unfruitful. But if you cannot understand this, you cannot see it. If these things are not in you, you're blind and cannot see afar off. Here, while we look for the things that are not seen, but the things that are seen, or the things, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. How can I be a blessing? And we don't look at just the circumstances. We look at God's will in that. Amen? God has a ministry for each of us. God has a plan for each of us. And that is to bring others to Christ and to honor the Lord and to be lights in this dark world. Amen? Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pray one for another. Be a blessing. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be able to deal with people and be a blessing for God. Amen? And when we're weak, we'll be strong. So go home a little weak today. Amen? Go home needy and talk to God and say, I need wisdom. I need comfort. Whatever you need. But recognize that need. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for how you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we need you. We need you right now, Lord. We're such a needy people. And I pray maybe that you don't take the burden away, but that you give us grace to bear the burden. Help us, Lord, today. Meet every need here for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.